Ed Allen, are you back with us?
Yeah.
You know, when we left off, you know, we had a couple questions in from the audience, and along the similar lines, and one of them was how do speculators in Wall Street impact cash prices? Do you have any thoughts you care to share on that?
Well, I'm not sure that the speculators on Wall Street are the important ones for the grain market. I think the Chicago markets are more important in that regard. Insofar as there are people making investments in futures markets for commodities, and in particular are speculating on the long side and just keeping a long position, whether you call them investors or speculators, I guess is a matter more of taste than obviously they have had a significant impact on the wheat market in particular. The most dramatic is the change from 20, 25 years ago in the wheat market in Chicago. The soft red winter wheat used to be marketed mostly right off the combine. It moved into export channels. It was highly seasonal. And for most of the year after the summer was over, you were just, you had your local producers who had their own stocks. Now, the futures market has a big enough carry in it that it's very attractive to hold the soft red winter wheat for storage because of the carry that's built into the market by the speculators or investors, whatever you want to call them. So it's really transformed the market. It's made it less responsive to move the, particularly the soft red winter wheat, into export channels right during harvest. Instead, it's tending to get held. And when we have a run-up in prices, like we had 3 years ago or like we're having now, then the world price can be bid up enough to begin to move it into export channels. So one might almost argue that this speculative money or this investment money has resulted in making a cushion in the world wheat market, providing an incentive, a market-based incentive, not a government-based incentive, for holding more stocks in the United States that move only when price incentives in the rest of the world make it really attractive. Now, I'm not saying that's an official government position, but that's just my observation over the decades.
Oh, this is a question that I think sort of relates to the answer that you just gave. And someone said that they came in late on your presentation and were wondering about the effect of convergence on the price trend and speculation in Chicago. And I think, well, my definition... convergent is that the cash and futures prices come together at some point.
Right. Obviously, there have been steps taken to improve convergence, but they haven't been so large. The storage charges have not been enough to really throw the incentive for storing wheat out the window. I mean, the carry in the futures market has been strong enough to maintain a lot of that wheat in storage. Obviously, we're showing some movement recently. So as prices increase, eventually the stuff will move.
And I'm going to go back to Duane here. Duane, you've, I believe, have recently demonstrated this latest tool that you've developed to help make decisions on the different risk tools in grain marketing to some groups out into the field. And share a little bit about the reaction, and because we have a number of other educators on here, and how folks intend to use those. Can you just share a little of that?
Yeah, I think the reaction was positive, and in a sense that when you start mixing and matching the various alternatives that you do have available for price yield and hence enterprise revenue protection into an overall strategy, that can be just a little bit daunting. A lot of folks aren't comfortable, for example, with using futures and options and the tools. This particular tool was designed to allow something that folks are comfortable with, the insurance options, to make side-by-side comparisons with futures, the futures and put or call options, and actually start to combine them. That's quite a bit to teach in a typical workshop that extension educators provide, but with some kind of well-thought-out scenarios and stepping through those, the participants catch on well and like the comparative analysis.
And Ed, I have one last question, and this has to do with U.S. crop acreages. And do you see changes in crop acreages due to changes in U.S. farm and or energy policy?
Well, it seems that the trends that were in place are still in place. The profitability of corn is still very strong relative to the profitability of growing wheat. So if you can grow corn and soybeans, if you've got the right conditions, obviously you're going to pursue where you have the highest expected gain. It would take very dramatic wheat price movements relative to the corn and soybean in order to bring a lot of land back into wheat in the United States.
Go ahead.
I don't think it's where we have our comparative advantage. I think in the long run, different countries should pursue their comparative advantages.
And my one last question that popped to my mind, we saw those rapid price range rises 2 or 3 years ago, and then the drop. I'm assuming I'm just going to ask you, is the productive capacity still available around the world that a similar increase of prices rose to the right place?
Yeah, I think that with high enough prices, you will get lots of production potential. It's a function of bringing the resources to bear. The additional investment will produce additional production, and the best cure for high prices is high prices. I mean, it's an old saying, but I think it's as valid now as it was when when our grandfathers were involved in the market.
So the purpose of this series was to shed a little light on the factors that had created some of the volatility. So I guess what I would take away from that is that those factors for ups and downs in prices are with us for a while.
Yeah, and the key is that we have these exceptional programs for biofuels that are key increases in demand beyond your traditional demand. So this increases the probability of price increases and volatility in general.
Well, thank you very much, Ed, for taking time to be with us. A very enlightening presentation. And Duane, as usual, you've got another really useful, powerful decision aid and tool for folks to think about. Probably special importance with the new combo policy that combines a number of the revenue and yield programs. It provides some, and while a lot of the programs similar in to what was there in the past have been brought together, and your tool would allow farmers to look at those directly. So thank you very much. And don't forget that tomorrow we're going to shift and go to volatility in fresh fruits and vegetables. We'll be back here at 9 o'clock Pacific, 10 Mountain, 11 Central, 12 Noon with Roberta Cook and Kinda Curtis. Our Ag and Uncertain Times website is a great resource. This webinar and the slide presentations from today the slide presentations are available there now. The actual recording of the webinar will be up within a day or two, and in three different file formats, video recording, an audio MP3, so you can just download the audio, and an SWF recording, which allows you to insert that into different PowerPoint presentations. And I've used both the video recording and the SWF recordings myself in presentations that I've done, and they work very well and extend the information that we received today. Another resource is the eExtension mitnet.extension.org. You can just simply Google mitnet. There are other resources available there as well. So we have all of the web pages on a file that you can download here. You just click on this file, follow the instructions. It'll allow you to bring it down and download it to your computer virus-free so that you will have in one place the web addresses that were referenced today. And so thank you for joining us for another very informative web seminar, and we look forward to seeing you tomorrow morning. Thank you again to Ed and to Duane.